Hi there, and welcome to Open Mic here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Tom Manning Beaven, the president and CEO of Frontier Housing here in Morehead. Tom, thanks so much for being on the show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Now, to get started, can you tell our listeners a little bit about your organization and what Frontier Housing really does for community members?
Sure. Frontier is 45 years old. We got started in 1974, and we were formed by four churches, the United Methodists, the Disciples of Christ, the Catholics, and the Presbyterians, and a Holy Cross brother. And the initial work was emergency home repair for households in need. By the late 70s, we started building new homes and working with home buyers to finance those homes with a variety of loans and grants. We grew from there. Now, at this point, we've helped over 1,500 households become homeowners.
Wow.
And we don't even have a number at the moment for the number of families we've done home repair for. But I'm sure it's in the hundreds, if not thousands. So we've been active a long time in the community. Frontier now does still emergency home repair and new home construction.
Mm-hmm.
We also own some rental housing. We own scattered site homes, and we are also part of the ownership structure of Boudry Place, which is a 32-unit elderly project right downtown.
Mm-hmm.
So we do a wide variety of housing work. We are trying to just provide solutions for as many people as we can help.
Now, you've only been in this position for a little less than a year, but it's not like you're new to this type of work.
Right.
Can you tell me a little bit about your background in particular with working with affordable housing markets?
Sure. I got started in affordable housing in college. I was a summer staff person for Appalachia Service Project back in 1990 in McDowell County, West Virginia. And that experience really lit the fire and pointed me in the direction of working in affordable housing. I finished my degree, went back to work in Southwest Virginia for 5.5 years for ASP. And then I went to work for an organization in Washington, D.C. that worked with rural groups across the country.
Mm-hmm.
That organization sent me to Albuquerque, New Mexico for a couple of years to work with groups in Colonia communities on the U.S.-Mexico border. Then I came back to Appalachia and worked in Berea for FAHI, which is a regional group. It's a group that has member organizations in 6 Appalachian states, 50-some members in total. I was the director of lending there, and we did both mortgage lending and loans to organizations for working capital, construction loans, that kind of thing. Then I went to Michigan and ran a small organization there for a couple of years, came back to Kentucky. I have been with a couple of groups since I got back, Kentucky Mountain Housing in Manchester, Kentucky for a little while, then in London, Kentucky with Kentucky Highlands. And as you said, since April of last year, I've been at Frontier.
Now, I want to go back to the beginning. You said that work that you volunteered in West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
What about that particular experience was like, oh, this is the thing?
Yeah, I've said that my life was changed, and I just happened to be holding a hammer when that happened. I think I saw the power of service and the power of working with other people on a concrete need like housing. I remember just having this realization at the end of that summer that the people with whom we worked didn't have the advantage of living in a place where the housing market worked, where the economy worked for everybody. People with whom we worked, if they had grown up outside Chicago, like where I grew up, they would have had lots of opportunities. The homes on which we worked doing emergency home repair would have been homes that the owners could have repaired themselves. I came to the realization that community and lots of communities across the country are places where economies just don't work for people. And I wanted to be involved in trying to make housing at least available to everybody. Mm-hmm. I wanted to help find the solutions and help create the opportunities for markets to work and for people to have quality housing, live comfortably, have the home they need as a springboard to other things in life that matter, like education, like healthcare, like other quality of life things, like being involved in a community. So.
Mm-hmm. The last time I spoke with someone at Frontier, it was about a project that kind of reminded mm-hmm. me of what you just said, where people were getting together to help each other build their houses.
Right.
Yeah. But I wanted to see how that project is going.
That's the Mutual Self-Help Program. Mutual Self-Help is a program that's run nationwide. It goes back to 1965. It was started in California by a Quaker organization that saw a need for better housing for farm workers. And their idea was to bring small groups of households together and facilitate the cooperative building of homes. And mm-hmm. the organization would provide the expertise to teach people how to build, to make sure the build was done well, make sure everything went according to plan, that they stayed on budget. All those pieces of expertise the organization provided, but the labor came from the families involved. And that program has built over the years to the point where now there's about 100 organizations throughout rural America doing that program, mm-hmm. doing the Mutual Self-Help Program. We applied last year and finally signed our grant agreement in December with USDA. So we'll have a grant that pays for the staff we need to lead people through the process and teach them construction and make sure everything gets done well. Each family owes 30 hours a week to that build process. The families will be involved in 65% of the building. So the things we'll contract out are things like electrical and plumbing,
right.
HVAC.
The things that take skilled
right,
kind of certification.
Right, take licensures. We're going to contract out drywall, thankfully, because drywall is one of those things that people who do it well are really artists. And
it's very easy to mess up drywall.
It is, and it's hard to make it right after it starts going wrong. Mm-hmm. But so the families would build 65% of that house, and they will realize a ton of savings, I think at least $30,000, because we won't have to hire a general contractor and pay the labor of a general contractor, the overhead and the profit of a general contractor. That savings becomes the equity that families walk into their home with. And in that build group, no one moves in until all the homes are done. So right now we have a build group of four families, and they just got started. We're trying to put a fifth family into that build group. Those families will all work together. 1 week we'll work on one person's house, and then the next week we'll transition and work on the next family's house. And we'll move all the homes along, but one home will start first and one home will finish first. And that doesn't matter to the whole group, because the whole group is in it until everyone's done. And then when everyone's done, everyone can move in.
Wow.
So it's a great program. It's not an easy way to build homes, but it is a process that creates a lot of investment. Mm-hmm. Blood, sweat, and tears go into every home.
Yeah, I call it sweat equity.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Yes, and that matters. We have statistics from the downturn in 2008, and we can see the performance of mortgages for self-help families nationwide. Those mortgages performed a lot better than conventional mortgages and other mortgages that didn't involve that kind of investment on the part of families. Even in places where the bubble burst and home values cratered. Self-help families stayed in their homes, kept paying their mortgage because they understood that it wasn't just dollars and cents. This was a home they had worked hard to get, and they weren't going to let it go.
I feel like people who, you know, when you build something, when you put physical labor into something, there's more, you're bought in more. There's a sense of ownership already. I made this. And I created this from the ground up.
Sure.
And I think people just enjoy it more.
People can be successful no matter how they come to home ownership, but the chances of someone succeeding when they've invested 6-7 months of their life in what's essentially a second job or a third job, building for 30 hours a week, that kind of investment is incredibly powerful. And yeah, absolutely, people will hang with that that investment. They will make sure the payment gets made. They will make sure that the home is maintained. They will leave our program able to do a lot of maintenance on their own home. They'll know how to paint. They'll know how to install trim. They may not know how to or retain the knowledge to build a whole room addition, but they'll know how to add on to their deck. They'll know how to do a lot of things around their home, and they'll have confidence, hopefully, to go ahead and do that for themselves.
It's a type of education.
It sure is.
And people, I think, appreciate it. Now, since you took over the position there at Frontier, have you implemented any changes within the organization?
The board, in the search process, was really clear about wanting to return to Frontier's roots. And that included being very focused on new home construction and getting back to that as a staple and a centerpiece of what we do. So we've worked on building that back, building the capacity inside the organization. I think the other thing I've done is tried to help the organization make the most of the assets and resources it's got, because we do have lots of things at our disposal. We have a loan fund with which we can make mortgage loans. And sometimes those are amortized loans, and sometimes those are a piece of money that we defer for a period of time so that a buyer pays on a mortgage and doesn't owe anything on this second piece of money. We'll eventually want to collect it because we'll want to help the next buyer.
Right.
But we can be patient with that money so that if someone is buying a house that costs $120,000 and they can only mortgage $100,000, we put $20,000 behind it and we're patient with that. And when that family's able to pay that loan, we start creating a payment structure to collect that. That was always something we could do. We're trying to do that more and trying to use that power to move families through the process and create opportunities for home buyers. We brought the rental portfolio that we own. We own 16 scattered site rental homes, and we brought that in-house. It had been managed by a third party, and we felt like we could do it better. We felt like we could use that portfolio as a way to be engaged with the community, a way to work with other partner organizations that might have a customer or a client that needs rental housing, whether that's a Gateway Shelter or Doves or any number of other organizations that have people in their service work that need housing as well as other things. That portfolio becomes a way for us to collaborate with other organizations. It also becomes a way for us to communicate about homeownership with people who aren't ready yet but want to be homeowners. So bringing that in-house, I think, has done a lot for us in terms of having control of that resource and being able to make that resource as available and as useful as possible to the community. Yeah, I think those are the big things. Bringing mutual self-help on is another thing that was in the works before I started, but I certainly like it and believe in it, and we've been able to bring it to fruition and get started with it.
Well, that's exciting. And on that note, we're going to take a quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this.
Hi, I'm Doug Chatham, host of the comedy music program Odd Numbers. Join me here on WMKY 90.3 FM at 9 p.m. this Friday and 4 p.m. this Saturday for a slate of oddball political songs like I Was a Teenage Republican by Wally Pleasant, Han Solo for President by the Faithful Sidekicks, and I Think My Dog's a Democrat by Brian Lewis. That's Odd Numbers at 9 p.m. Friday and 4 p.m. Saturday on Morehead State Public Radio.
And we're back here on Open Mic, here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Tom Manning Beaven, President and CEO of Frontier Housing. Thanks again for being on the show.
I'm glad to be here.
Now, you've talked a little bit so far about the different families that are involved with your organization. Can you tell me, I mean, I don't want you to tell me who these people are, but tell me the types of people that are clients at Frontier.
Sure. We work with all kinds of people. A lot of the home buyers we're working with have a job making perhaps $9 to $14 an hour, and sometimes that's a full time job. Sometimes that's two part time jobs. Sometimes we have one family member employed and the other family member might be disabled. There's probably not just one type. We're also working with people on all kinds of incomes. We are able, especially through the self-help program, where a buyer's own labor is bringing the cost down. We're working with some families whose income is less than $12,000 a year, less than $1,000 a month. We also work with home buyers who are not low income. We work with home buyers who have all kinds of income and resources, and we want to work with people at both ends of the spectrum. And everyone in between. We think that we have a piece of value to offer to any home buyer, and that includes building a house that's energy efficient and that is well built, and access to loan products and grant products for a wide range of incomes. Some incomes aren't eligible for grant resources, but they're still eligible for well-priced loans, loans 30-year fixed rate loans right now under 5%. Sometimes we can connect people with loans at under 4% for 30 years. Sometimes we can connect people with a deferred loan along with a market rate loan. We're able to be pretty creative, and that's, I think, a big piece of what we offer. Mm-hmm. We also can finance the construction as well as the permanent. So we're able to be a one-stop shop for people who want both a mortgage and want to build a new home. And maybe someone doesn't know how to navigate one of those systems or both systems. And that's the other thing we really are good at offering, is the ability in one place to have both a builder that will work with a family to find a house plan that works for them and that they like, and put a piece of financing together that meets their needs as well as anybody can meet their needs.
Right. Now, have you set any goals for the coming year with Frontier? I know you're coming up on 1 year being there.
Right. So our fiscal year ends March 31st. So we're in the budget process now. And among the things we want to do is get as close to 30 homes built and sold a year as possible. So that for us will be a big jump.
But you're not just in Morehead.
We're not just in Morehead. Okay. We serve 11 counties. That's the service area that we claim as a community housing development organization. And that goes as far west as Montgomery County, as far east as Boyd County. We have Fleming County, and then south of the 64 corridor, we have Menifee, Elliot, Morgan, Wolf, and MacGoffin.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have a history of working in other communities that touch those counties. So I know that we have worked in the past in Lawrence County, in Louisa.
Mm-hmm.
We have done work in Lewis County, particularly where our service made better sense for someone than People Self-Housing, which is the organization up in Lewis County. We have done some work in collaboration with others in Clark County. We've talked to people in Powell County, and there might be ways that we can help somebody in Powell County that the Kentucky River Foothills, which is the organization that serves Powell County, isn't able to do. So mm-hmm. So we're glad to collaborate with all sorts of people. I believe we've done things in Mason County. So we are not an organization that takes that geography and draws a bright yellow line around it and says, we will never cross mm-hmm. over this line. We want to be active where there's a need. So 30 homes, that'll be in that whole 11-county geography.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one of the things we're trying to get to is that kind of volume and then build from there, because
right. There
certainly is a need.
Yeah. I know that there are often people, especially around here with the college grads who mm-hmm. who want to stay close by in this region. And I know that sometimes, you know, myself, when I was a college graduate, it was hard to get into a home because mm-hmm. where do you start even?
Right.
So a lot of times that's offered. And I saw something on social media this week of a student recent graduates who are paying off student loans.
Yes.
With you guys
mm-hmm.
doing a program
right.
Where they successfully paid off a loan
mm-hmm.
and they were celebrating that. So
yes. The
there's also like financial literacy kind of
yes.
services
yes.
that you guys offer.
So we offer free credit counseling, and we are working on a curriculum that looks at financial capability in a holistic way, because that's a huge barrier for people. Including lots of people who have good income,
mm-hmm.
income of $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 a year. Understanding credit, understanding the impacts of high interest rate loans and borrowing, whether that's on a credit card or a payday lender,
mm-hmm.
understanding the implication of that and trying to minimize your expenses and live within your income, those are huge barriers to people. And so we offer that free. We have a small grant that helps pay for that. We certainly hope that some of the people who go through our credit counseling wind up being home buyers, and that we can help serve them in other ways. But right now we offer that as a free service, because we know that it's a need, and we know that without it, lots of people are just going to continue to struggle.
Right. And the community gives opportunities, and it's good to see
mm-hmm.
a business like yours working to help the community.
Yeah.
And just real quick, we've got a couple seconds left. I wanted to give you the opportunity to, if people need more information, how do we get in touch?
Sure. Frontierky.org is our website. That's a great first place to look for information. And in fact, even get started with the home buyer process.
Mm-hmm.
There on the website is a way to get to a portal to start that process.
Wonderful.
Immediately.
All right. Well, Tom Manning Beaven, the president and CEO of Frontier Housing here in Moorhead, thank you so much for being here. I do appreciate it.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
And that's all the time we have here on Open Mic. We'll see you guys next Friday.